Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. We do it every Monday at this time, and not that often after a Eagles playoff victory. But I'll say this, Mr. Ray Dittinger. It's certainly a lot different than your childhood when they didn't win that often. The Eagles do win an awful lot these days. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Joe. Well, it did. But Eagles-Packers, whenever they're playing in the postseason, I flash back to 1960.
Yeah.
Which was a great memory for those of us that are old enough to remember.
Sure.
That was a great, great memory.
You know, so, Ray, I'll say this. You know, James brought up earlier, and it's a great point, even though there's a certain consternation because, you know, a lot of evaluation of how Jalen played and some frustration with how it hung in the balance longer than it should have yesterday, we shouldn't take for granted, even as great as they've been this century, they went from after 08 until 2017 without a playoff win. That was 9 seasons. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, this is they got a real – okay, so, Ray, let's start with this. Your main reaction to the victory yesterday.
It was more suspenseful than it probably should have been. You know, that was my feeling, that they had an opportunity. They really had an opportunity to have that game put away by halftime, and they should have, to be frank. I mean, they get the quick touchdown right away. They get the turnover and the quick touchdown right away, and then they get the turnovers, and they had so many opportunities there in the second quarter, so many possessions, and it did nothing with them, you know. And, three and out. Then you get an interception right before halftime. It seems to set you up for points going into the locker room. You don't get those. You come out, you get the kickoff to start the second half. You don't get anything. You know, it's 10-0, like, forever. And, you know, you're thinking that, you know, the Green Bay Packers are a good team. And at some point, they're going to get something started, and then they're going to be back in the game. And certainly the Green Bay guys were in the locker room at halftime. I'm sure that what they were saying was we're playing terrible and we're right in this game still. And realistically they were. So that my feeling about it was, look, I'm glad the Eagles won. I'm glad they're moving on. But they made it harder on themselves than they should have. That's a game that should have been safely in hand by halftime.
Jeez, the offense with the way it all went down, Jalen, his performance. How do you rate him? It was average at best, I guess. Good, but not great. Where do you put him?
I would say if you say average, you're being kind. You know, I'll ask a question to you. If he plays like that again, do you think they advance? I don't know. You know, I mean, he's going to have to play better. I mean, all the conversation during the week was about the rust factor, the layoff factor. He hasn't played for a while. He hasn't practiced. You know, how's that going to affect him? Well, clearly it did. I mean, clearly it did, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he plays well enough to win. Didn't turn the ball over. Didn't make any big mistakes. But, I mean, he was he looked indecisive on many occasions, held the ball too long. And his accuracy was way off.
Yeah, sure.
Now he's going to have to. I mean, if you really look, you're moving on now, and every game the stakes get higher, and your quarterback's, you know, he's going to have to play better than that. He's going to. But the one thing you've got to come back to is, and the real core of this team, the real strength of this team, and it's twofold. They're the number one rushing team in the NFL, and they have the number one defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can run the ball and you can play defense, you're going to be pretty much in every game.
Yeah.
You know that. But to
sure.
win the whole thing, you're
especially
going to have to get your quarterback's going to have to make some plays to help you win a championship if that's really what this is all about. But I mean, the defense again played extremely well against a team that had some weapons. And, you know, I know the Packers lost some guys. They lost a couple of linemen. I mean, the loss of Jenkins was huge. I mean, they couldn't find anybody. They couldn't find anybody to fill that spot. I mean, Carter was having his way in the middle of the line. And they didn't have any receivers to speak of, which I think was making Love very uncomfortable. I mean, I don't think Love had any confidence in any of the guys he was throwing to by the second half. So all of that works in the Eagles' behalf. But you know, this was, I consider the Packers a good team, and it was a good test, and it wasn't easy, but the Eagles fought through it, and you know, now they move on. But yeah. I think Jalen would tell you, and I think anybody on the team, if they're going to be honest, would tell you that he's going to have to play better moving forward.
Who is to blame? And I've had a problem for so long with their two-minute attack. You know, at the end of the first half, we never go for the throat. And I don't know why that expectation is so low. Is it because Jalen is not a two-minute offense-type quarterback, and they are not confident in their ability to get it done in that specific area of football?
And I'll just say this right before you talk. I believe the answer, John, is yes. I think it's not the easiest to zone read your way down the field in a two-minute offense. I believe
it is,
that.
Sure. Yeah. But it is a very different phase, a very specific type of football that every team I was ever on, we practiced that every week. We would go in a two-minute drill, like, let's go score. You've got a different offense, and it's unspoken. You've got hand signals. We never go and get points at the end of a half. It's always we're going to hand it off and maybe a draw will hit.
Well, it requires, you know, six or seven or eight straight plays of full field reads. And, Ray, I think they try not to put Jalen in that position.
Yeah, I think that that's probably everything, what you guys are saying there, I think you're both correct. I think there's elements of both of those things that are involved in this. I do think that. And not to say they haven't, but I think that the coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff, really needs to take a look at their play selection, their play calling in those situations, because it is mm-hmm. different.
Yeah,
it is different that those last 2 minutes. I mean,
the expectations are so low for some reason. Why don't we expect to go get points at the end of every half and then go turn it around and get points at the beginning drive of the second half?
Well,
too?
Ray, one of the things I've said to John for a couple of years now, I think he shortchanges Sirianni in this regard. I think Nick is coaching it properly because he's trying to work around some of Jalen's deficiencies, and he does it in a way where they typically win. So I think it's good coaching.
I think it's bad coaching if the expectation is not, hey,
well,
let's
anyway.
Go get points.
All right, so Ray, let's talk about it. There's a bunch of other stuff to get to. A.J. Brown. Actually, forget that for a second. Let's go to the defense. I mean, Ray, phenomenal. Like, this defense won the football game yesterday. Can you talk about the defense?
No question. I mean, they did. They had Green Bay. And Green Bay is number five offense. I know they had some injuries, but still, I mean, that's a prolific offense. And they had them under complete control in this game. And they just seemed to rise to the occasion whenever. I mean, the Slay interception is just a great play.
Beautiful.
I mean, he's stride for stride with the receiver going downfield. And by the time the ball comes down, he looks like the receiver more than the receiver. I mean, mm-hmm. It was you couldn't play that any better than he did. And Bond just continues to make plays. I mean, they are really, really good. They are really good. I mean, you get the feeling that they are always they play nobody. You never see a blown coverage. You never see guys wide open when they throw underneath, which teams try to do because Vic plays the way he does. Teams know they aren't going to hit a lot of deep shots, so they tend to throw a lot of underneath stuff, wide stuff, middle stuff. And the speed of this defense is so obvious. I mean, they'll complete those passes, but the Eagles are so good at rallying to the football, and they tackle
tackling.
So well
yeah.
that, you know, okay, you can make those throws. We'll give you those throws, but you're not going to turn them into anything bigger. And that was what really, when I think back to last year, the collapse of the back half of the season last year, the biggest thing that happened there was just the tackling was so terrible. I mean, yeah. a team would throw a 5-yard pass and then turn it into a 45-yard gain because nobody could tackle. I mean, they've gone from being probably the worst tackling defense in football to maybe the best right now in 1 year's time. And it's, you know, I mean, Fangio gets a tremendous amount of credit for it, and he should, because, I mean, this team is very disciplined, and they always seem to be one step ahead of the offense. And you also have to credit the players because they're – some of these young guys that have come in here, I mean, the rookies, obviously, Mitchell and DeJean, and the addition of Bond, have really changed the face of this defense. And right now, I mean, they're number one defense in the league, and they're playing like it.
How much different might the defense look if N'Kobe Dean is lost for the year? We don't know yet that he's out. It looked bad, Ray, with the crutches and the big knee brace and stuff, but there's a possibility. We're holding out hope. We don't know until we get the MRI back, but how much will the defense change without N'Kobe?
A lot. It's a very big loss. It's a very big loss because he has been really good this year. I mean, for a guy that came into this year with a lot of people asking questions about, you know, is this guy ever really going to, how big a part of this team is he going to be? Was he a wasted draft pick? Blah, 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 which I never believed. I mean, I was a fan of his from college, and I just thought that he had.
Jeez, I thought he stunk, Ray. I was ready to count him out, and he was
really
amazing. I don't know how, like, I don't know how you kept the faith. I really
what I saw.
I was quick to turn.
I mean, he has the thing that a linebacker, to be a really outstanding linebacker at any level, be it SEC or the NFL, a linebacker is a tremendously instinctive position. And you have to have a great sense of the game. You have to have a great ability to anticipate and find and figure out where the ball's going to be before the ball even gets there. And he had that. I mean, I honestly thought he was the best player on that Georgia defense. I mean, I know he had like nine of his teammates got drafted before he did, but I really thought he was the key to it. I mean, he was the defensive play caller. He was the guy that was always around the football. I just thought he was exceptional. Now, I knew size was an issue. I knew he was undersized by NFL standards. But I thought that his smarts, his instinct, and his open field tackling ability would make the difference. And I really did think if he could just stay healthy, I mean, that was what held him back for the first 2 years. He was injured. If he could just stay healthy, I felt that he was going to be a really good. I thought he was going to be a really, really good player, and he's really going to help this team. And this year, he finally got that opportunity, and now, you know, we see him go off on the cart yesterday, and I agree with you, John. When I heard about the crutches and I heard about the boot and all that stuff, that doesn't sound good. Frankly, I'm hoping for the best, but I think, sadly, I'm afraid we might have seen the last of him for this year. So I guess it's probably going to be Burks.
Yep.
I mean, I guess it's going to be him the rest of the way if N'Kobe can't come back.
Probably. Ray, I thought Nolan Smith, player of the game. Do you agree with that?
I hadn't really thought about that part of it, but he certainly would have gotten a game ball from me. I mean, he's, you know, and here's another guy, a little bit like Dean.
Yep.
At the end of last year, we were asking a lot of the same questions. You know, did we overdraft this guy? Can this guy play in the NFL? And there really wasn't very much evidence of it at the end of last year. But this year, he got an opportunity to play, and obviously with the injury to BG, he's had an opportunity to play a lot. And he's just gotten better and better and better. And he's gotten really good at that pass rush. And that is just critical. I mean, there was a lot of question about how good the edge rushers on this team were going to be anyway. But then you take BG out of the equation. Now you've really got issues. And this kid has stepped up and played terrific football. And yesterday, in a really big game, he probably played his best game of the year.
Yeah, he was best game of his career. He was great. All right, Ray, let's tackle the A.J. Brown reading topic. So, thumbs up. I mean, thank God it's a self-help book instead of, like, I don't know.
A Stephen King book.
Yeah. All right. So, Ray, thumbs up or don't do that? Or put it on a piece of paper or put it in a tablet. And don't hold a multi-hundred-page book on the sideline and maybe give the impression that you're Curt Schilling with a towel over your head when Mitch Williams is pitching.
That's probably where I am on it. I don't think it's a good look. I've never seen it before.
No.
The only other time I ever saw a guy read a football player read a book on the bench was in the movie Varsity Blues. One of the kid actors in it, playing the high school kid, is sitting on the bench reading Slaughterhouse-Five during the game. And I remember seeing the movie and saying, "Oh, come on, that's ridiculous."
Yeah.
A guy reading a paperback book on the bench. Come on, that never happens. And then, oh, lo and behold,
yeah,
there's A.J. Brown doing the very same thing. Look, I thought he answered the questions fine, and I don't doubt that what he said is true. I guess this book has been. Sort of a help device for him, and if it works for him, that's great. But you know, it's you know, with the TV cameras being where they are, I mean, if the TV cameras don't pick it up, nobody knows, and it's not an issue. But with the TV cameras and the coverage being what it is, you know, they see everything on the sidelines. And, you know, why make an issue? Yeah. You know, why create an issue when there is, when there shouldn't
and
be
Ray,
an issue?
Even if you want to read
don't
it,
ask why do you always
well,
think
yeah.
I'm upset?
Totally.
Because you're drawing attention to yourself, man.
And Ray, to that point, what John just said, even if it helps you, and I believe it may. I mean, maybe he was making a statement of frustration, or maybe he was truly trying to help himself. But if you're doing that, the coaching staff and A.J. Brown, some combinations should say, let's get a couple pages on a piece of paper or in a tablet. Like, he doesn't have to hold a 300-page book.
No.
Because it looks ridiculous. And he
well,
could...
How about a wristband?
Yeah, like he could achieve the same purpose of finding inner peace through a couple paragraphs by having it on a piece of paper instead of opening up a whole book, which looks silly. All right, Ray, a couple other quick things to get to. I think it was the game show, Let's Make a Deal. I don't know. I could have the wrong one, but let's play the game, Let's Make a Deal. Ray Dittinger, sir, behind door number one for the remainder of the playoffs is Jake Elliott. Behind door number two is the best available free agent kicker. You going with Jake Elliott or the best available free agent kicker?
No, I'm going with Elliott. I'm not changing at this point. I mean, do I have concerns? Yeah. I mean, I do. I mean, it'd be silly to say that you're not concerned.
Yeah.
There's enough evidence there to be concerned.
John, I see
extra
you.
Extra point.
John, I see you. Are you thinking door number two, John? I see you.
Yes, I've been thinking door two for a month. This is now.
It's pretty bad.
Past where it feels like it's addressable, but I do think this could be a major mistake that comes back to bite us. I've been on several teams where it's sort of like the end of the season. There's another kicker there, and it's just, okay, we're going to see how they kick in practice. Now, that was not with David Akers. David Akers was locked in.
Yeah.
This is not with Sebastian Janikowski. He was locked in. But in Oakland, before we were certain, before we drafted a kicker in the first round in Seabass,
yeah,
it was up in the air, and there was no real, I don't know, there was no ownership of the kicking position by any one player in particular. It was whoever could do the job best. I would assume there are kickers out there who are not missing extra points right now. Ours did.
Yeah, I know.
That's not workable for me. That could have been the difference in this game. We are fortunate that our team was just that much better than the opposition to win by double digits.
It's a conundrum. Look, it's a conundrum. We'll probably put it, James, into a poll question, you know, tomorrow, because they're going to have to make that decision Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, Ray, I tend to think I agree with you on Jake Elliott, but man, it's rough. All right, Ray,
why not just bring someone in to compete?
I would. On principle, be opposed to it anyway, because the guy's been so good for so long, and
because you don't want to mess with his head.
And making a change now, I think messes with everybody's head.
I think it's too late now.
I think it just changes the dynamic. But I mean, what you do have to be concerned with, and even I am now, and even though I'm standing behind Jake Elliott for the time being, I am. The thing that concerns me is, in these next few games, you're going to have some decisions that the coach is going to have to make.
Yep.
In terms of field position, and, you know, is this now a makeable? This should be a makeable field goal, but can I ask my guy to make it? Okay, now maybe we have to punt,
or
that we didn't want to go for.
Yeah,
those questions are out there.
No, it's legit.
You know what? And it's a fair question to ask, and it's up to Elliott to answer it positively.
I read a couple other quick things to get to with you, but I want to go to James. He's flagging me for something. James, what do you got in there?
Yeah, not unexpected, but some disappointing news. Ian Rappaport tweeting out, Eagles linebacker N'Kobe Dean, who was carted off during last night's playoff win, is feared to have suffered a significant knee injury that would knock him out for the playoffs. Sources tell me and Mike Garofolo he'll have an MRI this morning to deliver the full news. Dean emerges as a starter this year with 128 tackles.
Look, it's horrible, and I feel really sad. You know, this is rare for me because I don't know many of the players, and I kind of purposely try not to know players because I like to be authentic on the air with my opinion, unencumbered by knowing someone as a good guy or a jerk. I feel worse for N'Kobe than I do even for, like, the Eagles. I mean, it hurts the team, but, man, for N'Kobe was going to be eligible for a new contract as soon as the season ended, well, meaning March, he was going to be eligible for a contract 3 years into his career. Completely sets that back. Obviously hurts the Eagles for the next month, however long they last, and could affect the rest of his career. So, and obviously complicates the Zach Bond re-signing, and it's just a shame on every
I think
level.
It uncomplicates that.
Well, like, well in terms of he can ask for more money is more the complicate. Yeah.
It doesn't complicate it for Zach.
It's like, Zach, they have to resign him now.
Zach
like,
Bond goes from $50 million to $60 million. But anyway, we feel bad for N'Kobe. We know N'Kobe. We love him, and it's a shame. All right, Ray, couple final things. Look, most of these games didn't matter that much from an Eagles standpoint this weekend. I thought a lot of them were boring. But Baltimore and Buffalo looked really good. I mean, really good. Ray, your thoughts. They can only play one of them if they get there at Kansas City, but holy hell, they look like machines.
Yeah, they do. They do. Baltimore is really good. I've felt all along that it's going to be Buffalo out of the AFC. I really do. I've just felt it all year. And it's not just the quarterback. I mean, it's everything about that team. I mean, they're just playing with tremendous purpose. They're playing with a lot of confidence. And listen, Denver, you know, Denver's kind of in most people's minds, probably mine too. I mean, they overachieved this year, but they're still a really good team, and they just took them apart. So, even though the Chiefs have had, you know, the great year and they're the number one seed and they're defending champs and everything, I think if it comes right down to it, even though the game's in Arrowhead, I think Buffalo will go in there and beat them. I just think this is Buffalo's year. And that'll be, if that's a team, if you face either of those teams, Baltimore or Buffalo, it's going to be a challenge. But I think Buffalo's going to be a real steep hill to climb.
All right, Ray, three final things. Who wins tonight, Minnesota or the Rams?
Boy, that's a really good question. I mean, after what I saw of Sam Darnold in the Detroit game, it scares me a little bit. But I would probably go with Minnesota.
Yeah, it's something to watch. I mean, rare that we get to sit back and watch a game knowing that the Eagles play the team that wins in a playoff game. We'll all be watching that. All right, two final things, Ray. So three things can be true at the same time, obviously, and I think these three things are all true with the Sixers' new arena situation. Tell me which hits you the most. That it's good news for Philadelphia sports fans that we get to keep all four teams in South Philly. B is that the Sixers' approach to this whole thing was really annoying, and they're an irritating organization. Or C, credit to the 76ers for being phenomenal negotiators, that they pushed the Center City thing as far as they had to, they got approval, and then they got to get Comcast to up their offer in South Philly, and the Sixers are great negotiators. Which one hits you the most?
Well, I think what you said is true. I think everything can be true all at once.
Yeah.
You could make the case for C, the way they negotiated this and leveraged this thing. But to me, I mean, if you ask me to pick one, it's number two. It's B. It's number two. I've found their approach to this whole thing incredibly annoying and arrogant. And
yeah.
And I'm just happy for the people in Chinatown and the people in East Market that have fought against it, because it was very clear from the jump on this thing that the people in the city didn't want this.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those public. It wasn't just like three or four people standing out on the street with signs. I mean, you had whole communities rallying.
Most people in the suburbs didn't want it. Most people didn't want it.
Nobody
and by the way, Ray, an all time news dump 1 hour before an Eagles playoff game.
Yeah,
I mean, that's astounding.
I was thinking the same thing.
Shameless.
I mean, it was your classic news dump.
But my God. Listen,
I'm glad it's not happening. But I just thought the way the Sixers handled this whole thing was so heavy-handed and so arrogant that. But I'm not surprised. I mean, that seems to be the MO of the organization. But you know, okay, now, if they get what they want, okay, good for them. But the way they went about it, I thought was just purely offensive.
All right, Ray, and Tommy and me rolls on, correct?
Tommy and me rolls on. We just finished our first week. We had sellouts every single night. The audiences loved it. We had some wonderful performances and some great guests. And we're going to be continuing on. The play has been extended through February 1st. So anybody wants to come out and see Tommy and me, there are still some tickets available. Contact People's Light, the theater out in Malvern, and come out and join us. We're having a fine old time out there.
All right, Ray, wonderful stuff, bud. We'll talk to you next week. I think when we do, the Eagles will still be alive and will be in that thing they don't call the Final Four. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Thanks, Have a great day.
All right, there
Bye-bye.
He is, the Diddy, Ray Diddinger. Seth Joyner at 9 o'clock today. A lot of calls up ahead, plus what Saquon Barkley said about sliding down. That and more, your phone calls on all of it. On a great day, the Eagles, they march on. Well, they might have limped on, but they're on. They're still going. And they got a real shot to win it all on 94 WIP.
Love backpacks. He looks. Going deep down the far side of the field. And it
Slay
is
took
incomplete.
It.
And Slay it is Slay.
Took it.
Slay.
But great job as the Eagles advance. Obviously, the passing game struggled, but the defense was great. Offensive line did a lot of wonderful things. Special teams, other than the Jake Elliott miss, did a great job. I mean, first off, a turnover to start the game. You had tremendous punts. This punter is really good. It was just a game. Look, it was closer than we would have hoped for a good chunk, but the Eagles are a much better team and should probably be in the next round as well. And look, we'll say Minnesota, we'll say. If the Eagles face the Rams, I'm not that concerned. If they face Minnesota, I got some concern. But this thing is going to get really, really, really real in the Final Four. Because the Eagles, Detroit, and then eventually Buffalo, Baltimore, or Kansas City, one of them. I mean, holy mackerel, buckle up, because those are five great teams. I'll tell you, for all the talk this year for a while about it being kind of a down NFL year, and I thought in some ways it was, these are five great,
legit, yeah,
great teams.
They separated themselves.
And Minnesota might be. They're probably not, but they might
be. They could be.
They went 14-3.
That's the crazy thing. I mean, you think about, like, if we get a Final Four, let's just say that the ones and twos advance, we will have two 15-win teams, a 14-win team, and a 13-win team that didn't try the last week in the Final Four.
Now, skewed a little bit because there's 17 games.
Of course, but still,
not skewed that much.
Not that much.
No.
I mean, it's pretty nuts, man.
It is. Rhea, who do you want to see the Eagles face next round?
I want to play the Vikings.
Really? That surprises me, because I think the Rams are easier. Why?
Because...
Skull, and send them back to Minnesota again?
Yeah, that's not a bad point.
Remember that whole nonsense?
No, that was... because I think that I saw out of that defense yesterday, they will destroy Sam Darnold. I mean, it was just watching... The way they were hitting guys, they knocked out two of the... I mean, the one guy suffered a concussion.
Yeah.
But they knocked out one of the receivers with the... I mean, the hitting...
It was borderline body bag game. It wasn't quite there.
It was close, it was a blood bath.
But it was about 60 to... For those that don't know, if you're too young, 1990, the Eagles knocked out, I think it was 11 Washington players in one game. This was like 6 or 7 yesterday.
It was close, Joe. I mean, they were just... I mean, Nolan Smith took out the left guard.
Yeah.
I was just enjoying that immensely.
Yeah.
And I would love to crush Minnesota.
Yep. All right. So let's
Minnesota's defense is really
they are very good.
And I'm not ready
Brian
to throw Flores in the towel on Sam
is
Darnold
going
yet.
To blitz us relentlessly. I think that Sam Darnold, there was the book put out on Sam Darnold to some degree where teams know that they can run certain defenses against him, and he doesn't have great answers with his legs. So we could take advantage of running some man and not worry about him getting away from us. Like that athletic quarterback component, it really makes a difference.
He did have a great regular season, though.
He did.
So we can't act like those first 16 games didn't count.
The Vikings are a better team than the Rams.
I think so, too.
And I think they're going to win, and I would rather play the worst team.
I agree. That's where I'm at. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Saquon thing and then right back to the phone. So Saquon, obviously, it wasn't quite his usual clip of excellence. Now, if he had continued on into the end zone on that final play, he would have had another 50 or something yards, and then it would look like a bonanza day because he would have been up at like 180. As it is in the end, for Saquon, it was 25 carries, 119 yards. Second to last play is when he went over 100 yards on his 24th carry. Let's listen to Saquon postgame. He's talking to Tom Brady, obviously, on Fox. So I actually thought Brady did a pretty good job calling the game, much better than he had other games. Although I'm really tired of the KB and TB.
I thought he was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he sounded nervous and uncomfortable.
Boy,
he didn't really add a ton of insight. Yeah, I thought he was bad, yeah.
I thought he was decent. Not great, but decent. And better, much better than he had.
You have your head in the clouds. You're in love with the winner.
Yeah, I admire him.
And you don't
listen
to the poor...
That's right, I forgot. You love him.
He's one of my guys. Yeah.
The poor job. Yeah. I mean, it really is boring. Just boring. How do you not put... Really,
I thought he was better. I'm not saying spectacular.
You also think Al Michaels is still great.
Oh, Al Michaels was great. Al Michaels.
Al's over there.
No, he's not.
Stop, Joe.
Yeah,
he is. I saw that tweet by you.
Al called a great game.
Al doesn't have it anymore.
He sure does. He had a couple of bad moments this year, and people act like he's washed up.
Joe, yeah, he's got no juice for it.
Washed.
No, I got no problem with Al. All right. TB, and I do hate the TB, KB thing. Okay, I'm obviously mocking when it's TB.
Hi, JC.
I mean, seriously, at least TB, we knew TB 12. How is Kevin Burkhardt suddenly KB? Hey, listen, KB. Oh, one other thing. Enough with Romo. I think I pointed this out earlier this year. Enough with him calling Josh Allen Josh. Good for you for knowing him. Here's who gets to go by first names. LeBron, Magic, not Josh. You're talking to America.
Does Jalen Hurts?
We call not him to Jalen. Not to America. Not national broadcast. No.
Jalen.
No.
I think people would say Jalen.
No, here, not the nation.
Yeah.
You're talking to a nation. It's a national broadcast. Josh this. Enough.
Don't you think he would say the quarterback's name regardless of whether it was Josh or not? Because they have the production meetings before
the game.
Yeah,
and my point is rise above that and speak to the nation the way they think of the player. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's listen to Tom Brady talking to Saquon about Saquon obviously going down at the end.
The last run of the game where you slid. Do yards mean anything to you at this point?
I mean, I can't break the record now, right? Most important thing is winning games, and it was no mod situation. AJ and Smitty kind of gave me crap. Definitely left some on the bone, but at the end of the day, the stat line don't matter. The only stat line that matters is getting dubs and advancing.
All right, congrats to the Eagles. They have advanced, obviously, to the divisional round where they'll face either Minnesota or the Rams, who they've already beaten this year. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react to a spectacular defense, a shaky Jalen game, run game that did more than enough. Sirianni, the whole deal. Ken and Sinna Minson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, French. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, Ken.
Happy Victory Monday, even though the Eagles don't have a Victory Monday today.
Which I love. I mean, I really do like that after the game immediately, they're talking about the things that they need to improve on. You know, like, they are so locked in and focused. Right away, Nick says, no Victory Monday for us. We're right back to work. We got to play a team who's playing tomorrow night. And I love the motivation and focus. And just like everyone was just talking about, they come out with their hair on fire. And this is that was a fast start. That's as fast a start as you can get.
Well, that's great to hear, John. Maybe one of these days you'll stop with your unexplainable doubt of Nick Sirianni. So, listen, on the arena, before I get to the Eagles, on the arena real fast, all you need to know about who's been driving this bus all along is who announced that deal. It was the head of the builders trades in city of Philadelphia. So that's who's been driving this policy all along. So that's kind of how
I don't know. I don't know enough about that to know. But
head of the building unions announced the deal. So that's pretty much tells you what you need to know. Listen, on the Eagles.
Well, I'll just say this. I don't think they made the deal for them. I think they may have allowed someone like that to announce the deal. I don't even know. It's true. I believe
you. The city looks stupid.
Well, it made a lot of people look stupid.
The mayor's office. I mean.
But, Ken, I don't think Josh Harris cares about those people. So I don't think that's what drove it. I think what drove it is Josh Harris backed Comcast Spectacor down, and Comcast Spectacor folded, and that's what happened.
Well, Josh Harris doesn't care about my Josh, but
Josh
that's
Harris. My point. Yeah.
But on the Eagles, so listen, you got a 12-point, you got a 2-touchdown win and a playoff game. I'm sure Jalen would be the first person to tell you that he can play better, and he has played better. And it wasn't just Jalen who didn't practice, right? It was Jalen didn't practice with AJ or Devontae because those guys didn't practice for a lot of the last 2 weeks either,
right?
Because they were shut down. So. It's important to remember that the Eagles won a whole lot of playoff games with Jalen Hurts throwing for 130, 140 yards, not turning the ball over, making plays when he needs to make plays. And I would much rather be in a situation where our football team does not have to rely on the quarterback to play at an otherworldly level to win the Super Bowl.
Well, agree, Ken, but it's a lot easier against a Green Bay team that's depleted and the defense plays an otherworldly game. I mean, this is one of those things where if the defense had played the way a lot of defenses play, let's say average, the Eagles could have been in some serious trouble yesterday. Now, the good thing is they can typically overcome Jalen's deficiencies because the Eagles' defense is spectacular. And the offensive line's great and the run game's great.
You're talking about Jalen's deficiencies, but I will say this. We're now going into the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and I have yet to be impressed or inspired or in any way, just encouraged by Kellen Moore as a play caller. I go back to July when we gave oxygen to the most preposterous conversation maybe in the history of WIP, that if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, are they going to find a way to get rid of Nick Sirianni?
Wait, can you come back to this a lot? But I'll say again, because I say this every time you call and say this, it was under the premise if Kellen Moore was phenomenal and was and deemed spectacular and a team wanted to poach him, and if you thought he was a lot better than Sirianni, that was the premise of it. Unusual, theoretically possible, and that's why the conversation was had. Period. End of story. 215-592-9494. All right, James, let's get to, I know you got in there some lines. We don't know who the Eagles will play. No, what do you got in there?
So I have hypothetical lines for both matchups, if depending on who wins. And obviously things can change with injuries, or if one team looks amazing tonight, it might change it. But I have what the predicted lines will be depending on whether the Rams or the Vikings.
Let's take some guesses. Yeah. Rhea and John, have you guys seen these yet? The potential?
I have not.
No.
All right. So Eagles-Vikings. Minnesota's got to come all the way across from a Monday night game out west to Philly on a Sunday at 3. I'll say Eagles by, I'm thinking 4.5 or 5. I'll say Eagles by 4.5.
Anyone else?
Eagles by 3.5.
Man, you just have no idea with the game coming up. I would guess they're going to err to the side of favoring... Okay, the Vikings, 2. The Eagles minus 2.
Rhea's correct. The Eagles would be a 3.5-point favorite against the Vikings. And the Rams?
Okay, Rams, I'll say Eagles by 7.5. It's probably going to be less because I'm already skewed high, but it's probably 6.5. I think it should be 7.5.
It's 6.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there you go. I got it. Yeah, I understand.
So Vegas agrees the Rams are an easier opponent for the Eagles.
Yep. And boy, John,
that's significant. 6.5.
I don't think the Rams are that good. They were in a not great division.
I know, but they were much stronger down the stretch. And they do have a good coach who can sit back there and cook up some stuff that will work. That's a huge factor.
Didn't the Eagles kind of pick them apart? Am I remembering that game right? When I say pick them, they handled them, right?
Handled them.
We
ran the ball. 37-17 or something like that.
Yeah.
We were dominant, but they have changed in their whole outlook since then.
Yeah,
that's
fair. They
are a much better team than they were when we played them.
That's fair. Hey, reminder, for this game, we're giving away tickets on Friday. 8 o'clock is when you got to have your chance to win the tickets. But also, you got to listen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8. Those 4 days, 8 o'clock, we'll give you a name at the top of the hour, at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, the 4 upcoming days. And with those names, you can win the tickets. The Eagles versus the team behind door number whatever.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, let's listen to Sirianni after the game. He did what he frequently does, which is defend Hurts, and I think it's a very smart play by the Eagles head coach. Jalen Hurts, winner. A lot of people would say, well, Eagles roster winner and defense winner, but, you know, Jalen Hurts has winning attributes, but I do think they win largely because of others more than him. But with that said, Sirianni does the right thing in having Jalen's back.
You know, as an offense, we struggled a little bit as an offense. You know, I don't think we had the game that we wanted to have on offense. But Jalen, I think did a lot of good things. One thing that Jalen continued, first of all, Jalen is a winner. He wins. I mean, no one can argue that.
It's a smart play by the head coach. It's a smart way to handle it. You know, it was a fascinating weekend to watch the quarterback, Sean, because there were a lot that struggled.
And
I mean, Herbert was a disaster.
Herbert completed less than half of his passes and threw 4 picks.
Yeah. Stroud was not very good, but he got better as the game went on. But he was brutal
him,
in the beginning.
Including the defense is really solid.
So he struggled. Who else am I forgetting here?
Well, Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, yeah. It was
Bo Nix.
Like
Jordan Love
was brutal.
Young. Yeah, Jordan. Think about that. The young guys, Bo Nix, Jordan.
Other than Jaden Daniels, who looked awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked good. And Lamar and Josh Allen were the best. I mean, those
guys.
Baker
Mayfield got team in trouble, fumbled the ball away. And he's been outstanding. Again, he's a guy who has turned his career around. He got paid the big money after fizzling out and being a bust because he's been exposed to more defenses. He's just been around the game longer. Jalen will osmotically absorb all of this stuff, through the next few years.
Well, here's
and
the
he'll
part
continue
when,
to get better as a result.
So I'll say this, Sean. I don't agree when you say it the way you do as a blanket statement. There are quarterbacks that have absorbed more defense and gotten worse. Dak has gotten worse. Carson got worse. Got way worse. But there are a number of quarterbacks that get worse. Daniel Jones, I think, has either not gotten worse or not improved. You know, there's a lot of guys that just...
never get it.
Yeah, they never get it. You know, for whatever. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought, was pretty good.
Oh, we all thought, yeah.
He's a backup. Brock Purdy was worse this year. I mean, guys do go backwards. And I think Jalen has gone backwards.
And Jordan Love just went last year to this year.
Yeah.
Guys,
I was shocked how bad he was yesterday. Now, maybe
don't
the
you
elbow.
Get that? Like, week to week,
no,
depending on what a defense does to you, it's going to look different.
But there's bigger picture. We can all acknowledge Jalen's not playing nearly as well as 2 years ago. I mean, that's obvious.
And again,
Jalen did a great thing yesterday, though, that I loved.
What?
When the guy, you know, basically threw Saquon
thing. Was great. He was right in
Jalen
there.
Jalen got right in his face, and he's half the size.
Yep.
And then you see the three bodyguards come running up. Like,
yeah.
Jalen, we got this.
No, that was
but
good.
The first guy in his face was Jalen.
I
love that.
Saquon held that pose maybe for 9 seconds. Like, you know.
When you talk about the first down thing, yeah, that was
wasn't
great.
That the same sequence? Or
yeah,
like,
it was after the penalty. Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Hey, three different Twitter poll questions of the day today, all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevy is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. Visit Armin Chevrolet. First poll question, was A.J. Brown out of line reading a self-help book during the game, yes or no? Second poll question, who would you rather see the Eagles play, the Rams or the Vikings? And the third question, which of these is your main reaction to the news the Sixers are getting the South Philly Arena, which, by the way, will be with the Flyers? I think initially some people thought, like, they're getting their own arena. No, it's going to be a Sixers-Flyers joint arena, Comcast Spectacor, which, of course, specializes in arenas all across America. Basically, the Flyers slash Comcast Spectacor, I think it's fair to say, folded upon the leverage that the Sixers had and said, okay, we'll give you a deal we previously weren't going to give you. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. Which of these is the three main reactions? Which is the main reaction of these three? A, this is good news for us fans because, you know, a lot of people wanted it down there. Choice B, Sixers approach, very annoying. They're an irritating organization. Or choice C, credit to the 76ers for being good negotiators. I mean, they are good negotiators. I mean, it's unbelievable. All right, let's get to, we'll talk to Seth Joyner coming up shortly. Seth in studio with us for the 9 o'clock hour. Nick in Collegeville right now. Good morning, Nick.
What's up, everybody? Richie, what did I ever do to for you to put me in a situation? I rooted for you every time, didn't matter what color your uniform was. You're a local kid, Harrisburg. And now this morning you put me on the, you know, Joe the Mallet Hammer side.
Oh, boy.
Camara.
And what do you got? What do you got, Nick?
Here's my thing. Okay, Jalen did enough to win the game. And Richie, you said, well, he saw that all-out blitz, and he made the right call, and that's the most important thing a quarterback has to do. Yeah, that's one of the most important things a quarterback has to do. But we're not like a college team. We're not like the New York East Rutherford Giants. Like, we're in a final. We want to be in a Final Four every year. Our quarterback has to be one of the, you know, best performing quarterbacks at the end of the year. You saw that, but everybody saw that zero blitz. Everybody saw that you got to get rid of the football, and Ray Charles could have made that call right away. Now,
he
might
he
not
didn't make
right
that call last year. The offense wasn't built in the way that even gave him that option. Think about
again,
that.
Joe, I mean, again, John, last year was not our standard. That's not what we thrive for. Like that,
right.
That's
so
not
now
we
have the ability to make the call, get in the right play, and score a touchdown.
Well, this is what I'll say. Like, I'm not a fan of this Kellen Moore's offense.
I actually am, and I'll tell you why, Nick, because he just runs the ball a ton. And that's what they should do.
Anybody can do that.
I know.
There's so many wide receivers. Like, I've seen so many wide receiver patterns from these other offensive coordinators that I can't name.
But, Nick, hold on. Go back to your first point. Let's tie it in your second. Here's my contention. Okay. Some people disagree with me. I believe Kellen Moore doesn't call the kind of plays you're yearning for because he's hiding Jalen. I've been saying that all year.
Yeah. Look, we saw when the backups came in that the offense changed. And they were 1-2-3 read to get rid of the football. And Jalen loves to hold the football. That's his number one goal, is he loves to hold the football. Now, it has benefited us, but here's the bottom line, John. The Green Bay Packers had 0 points. I'm sorry, they had 0 points with 7 minutes and 30 seconds in the third quarter. They had 3 points in the fourth quarter when it started. Like, you can't win with 14 or 16 points.
Well, you can, but it makes it harder. You can.
It makes it harder as you go deeper. That's what I'm
Nick,
saying.
Nick, one thing
that's... Do you think Jalen's going to play the same way?
He'll play better.
Next game?
He'll play better.
All season he's done this. John, you're saying, oh, wait till next week. He gets another week.
No, he had, what are you talking about? He's had good games this year. He's had bad games this year.
But he's been below average passing this whole season. The whole passing game, he's below average.
The only offensive passing game we've had was Pittsburgh. That's the only one. Really.
All right, Nick.
He played well against the Bengals. He passed. He didn't have to play. He was perfect in the second half, 9 for 9.
Gotcha. I honestly don't remember every game. I know there are games he's played much better than this.
But the passing has been inefficient. They
win. It's funny. I said prior to the show yesterday, I called into the pregame show, or one of the pregame shows, Tom Kelly and Al. And I said the primary reasons why the Eagles win are great defense, great offensive line, and Saquon Barkley. Huh. Some guy twisted around on some social media on Twitter. I forget the exact thing, but basically, he's like, you know, I don't have the quote in front of me, but let's just put it this way. The guy misquoted me on Jalen. I mean, Jalen does make winning plays, but he is, in my opinion, of the things that matter a lot, I would say by far the weakest link. By far. But anyway, everyone has their opinion, and a lot of people disagree.
Does matter to how good Saquon can be because of the threat.
It helps a lot.
So
it
helps a lot. We saw that in the Washington.
There's no question. There's no doubt.
Passing is a problem.
That's true as well. 215.
Passing is not a problem against the right defenses. Running is not a problem against the right defenses. It's getting into the right plays at the right times, and that's what he does well. And he'll continue to do well. He'll do it better than he did in this game. Moving forward, I expect that.
Well, if he
and
gets,
we have a good chance to win the Super Bowl, in part because the defense is great, in part because the running game is great, but in part because Jalen puts the defense in a conundrum where we have 12 guys on the field at all times.
Wow. All right, we have disagreements.